After investigation, widespread contamination was found at the Haynes Fuel Terminal and beyond. And after years in the making, the Sobeloff-McRae Wellness Center opens to much praise. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Extensive testing at the former Haynes Tank Farm and Fuel Terminal found widespread fuel-related contamination. Approximately 75,000 cubic yards of soil have contaminants that exceed environmental standards. The problem is decades old, from the time that the Haynes-Fairbanks pipeline operated with little environmental oversight in the 1950s and 60s. This contamination investigation will hopefully lead to a final cleanup. But at a meeting last week, some residents said the process was not moving fast enough. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
Thursday's Restoration Advisory Board meeting took a different tone than the last. Almost immediately, members confronted a presenter about what they saw as too slow progress. Here's Jim Studley.
This is poppycock. You are not taking advantage of the situation. The inability for the government to act is ridiculous.
The suggestion that opened the floodgates of criticism came from Army Corps of Engineers Representative Beth Astley. Astley was reviewing the contamination found at two sites along the pipeline at about 15 and 23 mile of the Haynes Highway. She suggested one solution to dealing with the contamination at 23 mile may be to cap it as part of the planned State Highway Improvement Project. But Studley said the contamination needs to be removed, not capped. Here's Astley with Studley responding.
We have to follow our procedures. We have to follow DEC cleanup rules. We have to follow our program rules. And it doesn't always, it's not always the most efficient process. You know, that's, I'll admit that. But,
it's ridiculous. You know, we
are doing it. This the right way? We're following
the
rules?
No, you're not. You're doing it a stupid way. It's outlined in law, maybe, but it's not the right way.
Bill Kurz made a motion that the board recommend the Corps clean up the area instead of capping it. At first, some members said it was premature to advise that kind of action, but eventually they voted unanimously for it. The site that drew the greatest negative response from the advisory board was the least contaminated area under investigation. The most contaminated is the former tank farm and fuel terminal. The Army owns the site, and its contractors drilled hundreds of testing holes throughout the 80-acre area last year.
You know, we are looking for the nature and extent of any contamination. What is it? How far does it go up?
Arden Bailey works for Northwind, the company that's conducting much of the research. Northwind uses technology that reflects off contamination. The results of the testing show contamination in the soil and groundwater at numerous locations around the property. Most of the contamination is gas and diesel range organics and benzene. In other words, contamination related to fuel leaks or spills. But one section has a different kind of contamination, chlorinated solvents.
That's the only contamination that we had that wasn't associated with fuel type contamination. So it's a solvent was used for degreasing, cleaning things, basically for maintenance.
Bailey says Northwind will conduct more testing in that area. They'll also drill a few more holes and take additional groundwater samples. After the investigation is done, the next step is to draw up a risk assessment. That will put on paper what hazards the contamination poses to the environment, humans, wildlife, and more. After that, there will be a feasibility study examining what the options are to finally deal with the contamination. The sentiment at the board meeting was that step can't come soon enough. But the Army says it's probably about 2 years off. In Haynes, I'm Emily Files.
More information about the specific contaminated areas can be found at khns.org. It's taken several years and millions of dollars, but on Saturday, the final stage of the Sobeloff-McRae Veterans Village and Wellness Center was unveiled to the public. Touring around the office space at the grand opening, the Haynes Wellness Center still has that fresh paint smell, And while the majority of rooms are still empty, one unit of the center was bustling.
We didn't have that in the old clinic. She did not have a lab, so we're really excited about that.
Cindy Hegwood is a dental assistant at the new Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium Dental Wing. She's only been at Search for a couple of months, but she says the new facility will have a huge impact on providers and clients with or without insurance. And it's not just all the new bells and whistles. It's the people, she says.
It's a real benefit to the community to have the staff that they have here at the Search Dental Clinic, and they are just the nicest, kindest people I've ever met in my life.
Along with the dental clinic, Haines Assisted Living will house its corporate office at the center. They're joined by Southeast Alaska Independent Living, Cornerstone Health, and Hospice of Haines. The project, including the Veterans Village apartments, cost nearly $10 million to complete. And while it hit a few snags along the way, its new tenants are optimistic. Haines Assisted Living board member Ann Hansen says having all those organizations together is not just beneficial to veterans, but to the whole community.
Because they all work so closely together, it's perfect.
Down the hall and around the corner is a demo kitchen of sorts to show how spaces can be adapted for people with disabilities. Sales Margaret Siebens explains.
And so you have, a person in a wheelchair could pull in and get their knees under here, and it's a drop-down counter, so it's more their height. Sales serves people with disabilities and senior citizens, and so for both of those populations, having the offices that they're using in one place is very important because they may have mobility issues, they may have transportation issues, vision issues.
The money for the project came from a few different sources. A large chunk was secured from the state years ago, with a sizable amount coming from Haines philanthropist Lucy Harrell. The Rasmussen Foundation kicked in a grant worth just under $500,000 to the project. Jason Smart is a senior program officer for the Rasmussen Foundation. He says between grants for the housing portion and the wellness center, it's a thrill to see it all come together.
I know for the foundation, whenever we see opportunities like that in different communities, that's something that we really encourage and hope that we can support when the opportunity is right.
The wellness center still has some room to grow. Not all the office spaces are occupied. But for the ones who are getting ready to set up shop, like Hospice of Haines, the opening was momentous. Here's Hospice Volunteer Coordinator Shannon McFeeters.
This is a great new beginning.
The open house was followed by a dinner with speeches and well wishes from a variety of stakeholders, volunteers, and supporters, including video messages from Governor Bill Walker and Senator Lisa Murkowski. In the coming weeks, organizations will continue to move in and get settled. As KHNS reported yesterday, Haines Police Officer Brayton Long handed in his resignation last week. He says the reason is that he's interested in chasing more creative pursuits, something being a full-time police officer doesn't allow for. Long says he wants to write children's books. He and his family will stay in Haines, where they have friends and family. Long says his resignation has nothing to do with a couple of incidents that have drawn attention over recent months. He says the community has been supportive and given him positive feedback. In January, Long accidentally shot himself in the wrist during a training exercise. He made a full recovery and was back on the job soon after. He says it was an unfortunate accident and, quote, an occupational hazard. Late last month, Long was the topic of conversation again. He and Alaska State Trooper Drew Neeson were called to a house on Small Tracks Road after receiving a complaint about gunshots. Long and Neeson ended up drawing their weapons on the home's residents. The incident resulted in a verbal warning about firing guns in the town site. Long says, as far as that incident is concerned, he would not do anything differently. He was hired in November and served as an officer in Skagway for 5 years before that. Long says he'll finish out the month at the police department before moving on to a new chapter. Skagway Borough Manager Scott Hahn has signed on for another 2 years at the municipality's helm. Hahn and Mayor Mark Schaefer finalized a new contract yesterday. The contract includes a $7,000 salary increase from $125,000 to $132,000. Hahn will also get 30 days of annual leave compared to 20 days in his first contract. Hahn was hired as borough manager in 2014. He met with the borough assembly in an executive session during last week's meeting to negotiate the new contract. The contract also stipulates the municipality will provide rent-free housing for Hahn. Borough Clerk Emily Deitch said that was the case in the manager contract before Hahn's tenure as well. The contract begins this July and lasts until June 2018. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening, and thank you for supporting community radio in the Upper Lynn Canal. As always, you can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.